Hey everyone, this is Wes from the Console Gaming Crew, and we couldn't be happier to announce that we are now part of the Boss Rush Podcast Network and are featured on BossRushGames.com. BossRushGames.com is a great place where you can find up-to-date news articles, blogs, and podcasts about video games. In addition to that, there is a growing collection of podcasts in not just the gaming community, but other communities as well. We are honored to be a part of such a great network of podcasters, so please stop by and give everyone a listen. Thank you. And enjoy the show.
Yo, crew members, what it be?
Heyo! Hi.
God, you know, it's kind of nice having you back.
See, it's nice not having you.
Yeah, that was Anthony. So awkward. It was like, so, I did yours last week.
It was so weird.
So fucking awkward and like foot in mouth. I told Wes, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, I got the podcast tonight.
I had to convince him throughout the week to make sure he stayed.
I get it, because when you're not here, I do the same. I go, hey-o.
Hi.
And every time I do it, I'm like, nah, I just brought myself down. I brought myself up, and then I let myself down.
Yeah, you got to leave the down to me. Your voice isn't deep enough to go down. It just squeaks.
No, my voice cracks more when I try to put on a deep voice, which makes
sense. Damn it, where are they?
There it is.
No, it's good to be back though, and I'm mad that I missed that last episode, because I was so excited, because the last episode you guys talked about something that we've collectively been excited for and talked and speculated about for a year at this point, probably,
or more,
which was the PSVR 2. And when you sent me that link, because I didn't see anything about it until you sent it, so when I got that text from you, I was just like, oh, I gotta look. And
Jesus Christ,
you keep talking, go ahead, don't worry about him, Wes, just keep them in your hand, bud.
Oh my God.
Wow.
You might as well. I'm not going to make it too long, but I feel like if they even deliver on 90% of that,
that 50. Article I sent you is directly from Sony. That's what's happening. It's 4K OLED.
That's insane.
That is so nasty.
I love that they addressed that, because we were talking about what about haptic feedback and adaptive. It's all there.
Hand controls kind of look like what you would get in the Oculus. They're like, they got like that circular thing that you can like slip your hands into, almost like you're wearing a glove.
I have like Mega Man.
That's pretty much the way it is, dude.
In my brain. Yeah.
It's a single cord.
In my brain. That I love. So we were talking about it being wireless, things. Which would have been cool, but the single cord I can definitely get.
The single cord I can get behind, because it's a single cord that plugs into a USB. That's all it is, dude.
Which you no need for that whole
it's
extra thing with the three cores that all get tangled up.
The headset comes with the controllers. It's all in one. You don't have to buy them separately.
That's dope. Now, did you guys talk about a potential price point?
I think it was like $499.
Is that what you guys are guessing, or did they say that?
A lot of speculation between. I didn't see anything from IGN. That would have been like.
No, I looked up. I think it was Tech Guide.
It was like a tech guy, but I think it's gonna be
$399
to $499. Yeah. $499 sounds about right. You're getting a think of it this way. You're getting a 4K OLED headset with a single cord with the controllers all in one. So the controllers are probably like $100. Maybe $150 for the controllers if you were to buy them separate, right? Because of the haptic feedback. Mm-hmm. And then the headset, there's the rest of the money. Easily $500 price point.
I feel that sounds about right, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think
$399
the PSVR, I think, was $399.
And that,
right?
Dude,
and that was worth it.
And I didn't even have the controllers for it. That was the VR head. Yeah, that was the VR headset. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
and then it was like $80 for the PlayStation Move.
$99. Yeah. So,
mine was 80 because I was using the PS3 ones, which luckily still work.
Correct.
For PS4, which was
$500 price point is what I'm guessing, and it's going to be amazing.
Sounds about right. I've already earmarked that money. I already talked to Alex. She's like, I signed up for the thing, so I don't fall into same bullshit as I did with the systems where I don't see that it's coming. And
already
then I'm
done.
Like months
already
late.
Done.
Because all the speculation that I had. Or the trepidation, I should say, about PSVR, about getting it right away, thinking what could they possibly have that could be that great right out the gate, and then being able to play Resident Evil 7 in VR right away and see how great it was.
So the first game you're going
to
get right away
is
another Horizon. It's actually
standalone. It is a standalone Horizon Forbidden West type of world. Yeah. You know, what I mean? It is the Horizon world. It is, you mean, you are in the West, but you mean it has nothing to do with the actual game.
It's its own.
So
game.
I already know for a fact that you and I are getting it. Where are you at on it, West? Are you interested? Or
I mean, look, I'm definitely interested. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
because I already
saw that, yeah,
and I got. I finally have a room where I can do it, where I'm not gonna bash my head off of the fucking corner, fucking of the room,
or like slap your daughter across the room because she runs past you.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. And now that's something that I will have to worry about. So,
I'm so excited, actually. Yeah. Yo, I think I have to hook up my old VR and let her fucking plug in.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, that'd probably blow her mind, dude. Dropping her in that Shark Tank one.
I think
just to like chill, and that would probably be amazing.
Elena would never look at water again if she did that.
Anyway,
God, there was something I was about to ask aside from price point. Release date?
No release date yet.
Was there a release date on?
Nah.
Any thoughts?
No, we don't have
like holidays.
My guess
is
if they're going to be smart,
or you think that's too soon? Maybe.
You probably, because again, that was just an email of all the specs. There was, and the game that's going to be coming out for it. Knowing that we have a game, we've got all the specs, we have exactly what it looks like and exactly what it's going to more pretty much cost, I think you're going to see a 23 fourth quarter release, so right before 24. That's what I'm thinking.
Now, I don't know if you guys. Oh, go ahead.
Then what I was about to say, and plus, you know what I mean, the system will be very, very established by
correct.
That point.
And that gives,
you know what I mean, to go ahead and have enough bugs worked out of it to where you don't have to worry about any huge glitches happening.
Well,
you know what I mean, with whatever update you need to do with the firmware.
Right, and I don't think you're going to, so, and that's a better, Wes, that makes a really good point. It was like this last time before the VR came out, you had the mass update for the PlayStation 4 that gave you the ability for VR, but the VR system wasn't even out yet. So I think when we get closer to the release of the VR and they give you that update, you'll then get a better understanding of when it's going to actually release.
Touche. And also, I don't know if you guys talked about this, but what a perfect opportunity that they have. What is the, I'm calling it Spartacus because I'm forgetting what the new shit's called. What's the shit called? The new subscription service they have that's supposed to rival
Game Pass? It's essentially just call it Spartacus
I'm just going to call it Spartacus for now. What an opportunity they have to tie those two together a little bit. If you release some VR games on there, if you don't want to release brand new games, like that's at least a way to maybe get people more interested than maybe on the fence about VR to do something like that, or to justify, because think about it, even though it is 100% worth it, we know it, we have it, we know it's worth it, people are going to look at that, which essentially it is you're buying like a brand new system. That's the price of a brand new system. So to justify spending all that money, you know, it might be a good idea to tie some games in with that for free. But cool. I just wanted to be able to talk about that a bit, but let's get into
the actual episode.
Which is
pretty much going to be ran by Andy.
Yeah, really quick, that little snippet everybody heard, that was a follow through from last week. Andy wanted to partake in like one of the most exciting things that ever happened to him aside from having a kid and getting married. Or I could be speaking out of turn. That PlayStation VR 2 could possibly be more exciting than both of them.
You're right on par there. That's a 1A and it's number 2 because it's like marriage and kid are like 1A and B.
Oh, no, so, that's not how that works.
And that's not that
as of
that's
right now, that's what
that's what you say now.
Yeah.
And also,
and then when you get older, you're like, God, okay, kid number 1, PlayStation number 2, wife number 10, because I still have job and friends. No, I'm kidding.
Don't let her hear this.
I hope she hears it all.
No, she knows that. She knows for a fact that ain't the case anyway. But yeah, I had to go on my little soliloquy there. But yeah, this episode's gonna get a little twisty.
This episode
little
is twisty. Brought to you by the words, the mouth of
twisty twist.
Andrew Scooby Jack.
a little twisty. Yeah, this episode is the brainchild of Anthony Carminati. It's
fucking
the first episode
before,
that you actually came up with that.
Yeah,
we're using.
But when you were in the green room, Wes and I were like, plot twist. How are we gonna talk about plot twists? Are we gonna be doing like what ifs, or are we doing actual plot twists of games?
No, we are doing I mean, you can talk about whatever the fuck you want. It's our podcast. We can do whatever the fuck we want. But I figured we would do actual plot twists in games. So, I mean, I can do some first so you can kind of get an idea.
No. I mean, if we're doing actual plot twists in games, Wes and I already got a couple.
Things that happen. Yeah. Things that happen in games that you just did not see coming or took the shit in a totally different fucking direction. You know, stuff like that. So, I mean, whoever wants to start can start. If, like I said, we're just going to collectively talk about them all anyway. Perfect. So, well, fuck, dude. You might as well start. you might as well start with what I would assume would probably be the earliest plot twist in the history of games, which would be Metroid, finding out that Samus is a woman.
Oh, yeah. Nobody.
Because nobody. And that was a talking point forever.
That's
because,
amazing.
Unfortunately, your brain shouldn't work that way, but you just assumed that it was a guy. You see all that athletic shooting in a mech suit, and you're like, that's definitely a dude in there. So then when
you don't even think twice.
When that suit comes off and you just see that flowing hair, and you're just like, wait, what? I was a chick the whole time? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, but that was a big thing then. It wouldn't be as big a thing now, luck, thankfully. But that was, yeah, that's definitely a big twist that nobody saw coming. And something that, like, clearly they didn't have to do, because they literally showed it at the very end, right before the game was over.
Dude, I know.
So
amazing.
That's one right there.
And cut.
What's happening?
Like, what the fuck?
Good episode,
right,
guys.
And we're done.
Time to go.
And scene. No, I have more. I just thought we'd roundtable this shit. I can say some more if you want.
Well, not. Ant, do you plan on playing Ori to the point of you don't want me to spoil anything?
No, just
or...
talk about it. You're fine.
I don't even necessarily...
You're fine.
Well, I don't know. Is that actually a plot twist?
I think it is. I think it absolutely is.
I guess. So, we should have said spoiler alert before this. Maybe the episode should be called spoiler alert.
Maybe.
because essentially everything we're
don't
doing
take
is
Anthony's
spoiling
job.
A part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, touche. Fuck, dude. Touche. I let him take mine. He picked the episode. So, fuck.
Well, no.
Be fair.
No, I just said I'd be cool with whatever if you go back through the text messages.
Yeah. Cock. But no, go ahead.
All right, so throughout both Ori games, both The Blind Forest and The Will of the Wisps, you keep on hearing this deep voice talking you through the even just narration of just everything that Ori is going through.
You're 100% right. I thought you were going in a different direction, which is why I questioned you at first. Now I see where you're going.
Okay. So
you got to do the voice. You do it better than anybody. So
well,
give the people a peek.
I was going to lead up to it. So at first, like, I thought it was Qualloc, who is the giant frog that you meet in Will of the Wisp, who, you mean he's basically the big dog of the whole world.
He comes off as like Ori's version of Yoda.
Mm. Even though he sounds like Jabba the Hutt.
Yes. He's Yoda trapped in Jabba's body.
Down, but you want it. Yeah,
that,
crazy
that's,
shit like
that is so on point. That might be even better than your Morgan Freeman, because that shit is so spot on.
You think so?
So I still do.
Dragon.
I still do. All right, continue.
But what you actually find out at the very end of Will of the Wisp, I mean, because Qualloc dies in the game, and it's like, oh shit. Well, I didn't even think about it really until after the game when I started like noticing, like, oh shit, that's actually you.
Yeah.
So the voice you hear in both games talking about, I mean, the sequence of life of
like
Ori,
the journey. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole journey of Ori is actually Ori himself. Or itself. I'm not even sure what it actually is. So it's actually Ori itself, and it's from the tree that it becomes.
Yeah.
So it is telling the story, like just like how the rings of a tree, you know, rings of a tree trunk tell the tale of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, you know, that shit just blew me away.
I remember when I told you, I was like, dude, be prepared for like how this shit goes at the end. And then I just get a text from Wes that just goes, oh shit. And I was like, yeah. So like essentially the way the game ends, like you basically become the tree that gives energy and then like gives life to this whole place.
Because you
and
are then, the last of the light.
Yeah. And you basically find out that the entire journey you spent from the first game all the way
cool.
through the last. Yeah, definitely. So
dude,
you go through everything.
Yo, for real, it's not.
It just rounds
it is
it
not
all
something
out.
I was expecting at all. Going from one game to the other, you know what I mean? Like it completely flipped it on its head for me, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
we can rock
That's
with that.
Cool.
We can absolutely rock with that.
All right, so how about I'm not going to bring up Ghost of Tsushima because I talked about that. That's kind of what started this whole plot twist episode. So we already know about that.
That is
true. Oh, okay. How about this though? We've all played the game. How about Fallout 4?
Ooh, yep. I had that too.
Did you?
Yeah.
This I just thought off the top of my head. I don't have a list, so, but I do remember this specifically because the entire beginning of the game, your goal is to do what? Find your son.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, his son, pretty much in charge of everything.
Absolutely.
Like what?
Yeah, father.
Yep. How the fucking what?
Your son.
Yeah. No, he's not my son.
Okay.
He's
continue.
He's our son.
<Sorry. laughs> That was incredible.
I mean, we've all played the game, right?
He's our son.
Yeah. And I mean, that's so. Yeah. So Fallout 4, Sean is father. Absolutely a plot twist at the time. Thought it was pretty dope, actually. Because, like, in a game like Fallout 4, when you.
You were not expecting.
No, you're not
that.
Expecting to find your long lost kid who's like 50, 60 years older than you are.
Well, see, that was the big thing. The big thing was the fact that the
see
kid was.
Adult.
You know what I mean? Sean was. Sean was older
fuck?
Than your character.
It was so
and,
good.
And the head of the Institute.
Yep.
Yes.
Insane.
Right?
Yeah. And, like, at that time, you're like, God, I just kind of want to help the kid. So, yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
I mean, I did.
I did.
Dang, dude. Well, I mean, I didn't because I finished every single ending. So, in once, I did.
I only played one ending, and it,
Wes is like, it did not.
Yeah, I wasn't a good dad.
Yeah, it's all right. These things happen.
On to the next.
Yeah, so this is just a cheesy little one. Like,
no,
this is like there
I
are
got
some
a couple
plot
cheesy
twists
little ones
that,
too from like when we were little.
There
kids.
Are some plot twists that are put on that are just like. It almost seems like the people that made the game just gave up and they just said, fuck it, let's just make this all make sense this way. And that's what you get with Super Mario Brothers 2. Because what does everyone say about Super Mario Brothers 2, which is one of my favorite Mario games. I love it. But
I mean, number one, it was nothing like the others.
Exactly. And for everyone, and they probably knew that people were going to have it. Like, why is this so different from the other? It's so different from the first one. And obviously, it's so different from the second one. And why do you find that out? You have to wait all the way till the credits at the end of the game. So you go through the entire game and you find out at the end that everything you just did was a dream that Mario had while he was sleeping.
And
so
you're like,
I guess that's
this mother F.
This is where you go, like, this is what the writers came up with. You knew you were going to have questions about why the game was so different. Rather than just being like, yeah, we wanted to try something else. You threw in this cheesy little plot twist, like, oh, you're playing through Mario's dream. Like, get to the end of that game and you feel like you want to feel accomplished when you get to the end of a game and feel like you did this shit for a reason. And then you get there and you're just like, are you kidding me? Like, I just did this so this dude would have something to think about before he woke up.
That's funny.
Like, what is this? So that's just a cheesy little one, but it is indeed a plot twist because, you know, that's something that they decided to throw in. Since that's a short one, I do have another one I can go, or we can just circle back.
We'll circle back around. We'll keep slinging this sumbitch.
Yeah, because my next one's a two-parter anyway. So.
All right, so mine is one that nobody's going to be surprised about.
Wait a minute. We know what game it absolutely can't be.
It can't be
Borderlands.
It's not
for
Borderlands,
sure.
Right?
It can't be
not the first one.
No, I'm not talking about.
It can't be Borderlands related at all.
I'm not any of the Borderlands. It can't be any of them, right?
It can't be anything Borderlands.
Well,
related
look, man,
he would never want to talk about that too much.
There are a
I think
few.
It is,
with
I think
Borderlands.
It is Borderlands.
I mean, the first Borderlands game, I don't think there was any real twist. I'm trying to remember, but it's been so long since I played it. But there's two of them in the second game. Like, so the first one that really catches you is when you find out that Angel is actually well, not only that Angel is Jack's daughter, but also that she has been helping him. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if she's guiding you, but she's been doing it while still, you mean, doing what she's supposed to do for Jack?
Because she's forced,
like,
to?
Forcefully.
Yes.
Yeah, forcefully.
That
like
shitty
that
collar
was like
around her neck.
Like, it's so funny that the three of us, as we were playing that game, legitimately all said that at the same time. Like, we had this, like, as that scene was happening, we all kind of took a pause and then came back and was like, so are we going to acknowledge how fucked up this actually is if you think about it? like, this dude is legitimately using his daughter strapped up to this fucking machine to do,
yeah, shit's nuts.
To do his dirty work.
But then another one that Anthony actually went ahead and said, which I'm more curious about his interpretation of it. Talk about Handsome Jack not actually being the villain.
Oh, yeah, I brought that up as if it were a plot twist.
I love when you have legitimate shit
like
that.
What if Handsome Jack wasn't the bad guy? Right? He was just doing all this. What if it happened to be... So this is my interpretation, right? Check this shit out. What if...
Oh, I'm ready.
Now, obviously it didn't happen, but what if Handsome Jack was actually a good guy? Trying to get all the Vault Hunters together... and instead of using his daughter with the collar and all that, she was actually trying to use the Vault Hunters to save his daughter.
Yeah, because you break her out
but
of the thing.
What? Yeah, but no, but let's say, right, but let's say you were doing it to help him, but the Vault Hunters didn't know, so you're actually fighting Handsome Jack thinking he's a bad guy, but he's actually really a good guy who's trying to save his daughter, and...
That's a, I mean...
And then also the simple fact that he's an absolute douchebag, you know what I mean? And his personality just doesn't
he's
well for normal
people. He had the potential to really be like the best anti-hero in modern video games.
Yeah.
He really did.
However.
Absolutely.
And I mean, pre-sequel kind of made that also.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Between the pre-sequel, between the pre-sequel and Borderlands 2, up until you find out what's going on with his daughter and shit, he had the potential to be like one of the best fucking video game anti-heroes of that time during when that game came out.
Yeah,
but that's a really good take. That's actually plausible. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at it that way, that's absolutely possible. Yeah. And nobody would know but Jack.
Yeah, he's like, they killed me, and I was actually a good guy. Hey.
I mean, look, he said it. He said it in the game at one point to where he's like, I don't understand what the hell you Vault Hunters are doing. Like, you know what I mean? I have this plan. I'm trying to work this plan, but you guys are destroying my plan. Like, it made it really interesting to where, like, later on, you know what I mean, after you play the game for 100, 200 hours or whatever.
You play the game for, like, 200 hours. Jesus, fuck. Yeah.
But I mean, you have the thought of like, wow, maybe Jack was right.
Yeah.
Maybe Jack was right for wanting to go ahead and do what he wanted to do with.
He definitely didn't have to do.
You mean with the big lava beast?
Yeah, he definitely had to do his daughter all dirty like that. But yeah, you're right.
It's wild in games and in movies when you have a legitimate option to completely look at something a different way. And I don't know if you guys ever saw it, but to just equate that to a movie, did you ever see, there's a video on YouTube that someone put together of the first Karate Kid. Did you ever see that?
Oh,
that
yeah.
actually explains the view of how Daniel LaRusso may have actually been the villain in that entire movie.
Well, dude, Cobra Kai completely works off of that. You mean like, the show that's on Netflix now?
Yeah, like they break down the clips of how like his first fight, like that he even got in with Johnny, how like he asserted himself in that situation. The dude asked him not to touch something, he still touched it, got in his face. So it's like he instigated every fight along the way. So it's this video that actually makes you think like, oh fuck, he actually may have been the douchebag
in
this
movie. Douche.
I
got another little
one. Which?
Good.
So Pokemon, the original. Now, the original Pokemon Red.
I know where you're going.
And Blue. What? Yep. Am I taking like all of yours? You have like a little list and these are on
No,
there?
It's I got
He's like I yes, got a plethora of.
If you're using the one that I think it is.
No, I found like a couple while you guys were talking. I was like, "Oh, that makes sense. Let me bring that one up." And that was one of them.
I'm doing the same
but
thing
like
right
if
now.
You if you think about it, that too is an old school plot twist like one of the originals, cuz that's from like what, 96?
I want to say 96.
Around 95, 96. Sure. So, I mean, that's a long time ago, dude. You're battling your fucking childhood friend or bully, I guess.
Initial release date, 96. Okay. U.S. release date, 98.
96. Yeah. Fuck off.
We'll split the difference, 96.
But yeah, another old school plot twist.
Yeah, having your rival, Gary, Blue, whatever the hell they wanted to call him, Red. Yeah. So having him be the Pokemon champion that you fight at the end after going against the Elite Four and everything else.
And you're like, beating his ass throughout the entire game. And you're like, huh, interesting.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. You can.
So, all right. So my next one is a two-parter because there's legitimate plot twists in both games. And it is The Last of Us and The Last of Us Part
I had
2.
A feeling you were going to go there.
So,
and I think so I know exactly
for sure
what
I was
going to talk about.
You probably know exactly what I'm going to talk about for the second one. The first one. So, again, massive spoiler alert, like all these are. But so the whole to understand the plot twist, you need to understand the story. And in an extreme nutshell, the first story, you play as Joel and fuck, I forgot the girl's name all of a sudden. Shit. What's the girl's name?
Ellie.
Someone looked it up for me. Well, thank you, sir. Yes, Joel and Ellie. I love the game so much. I forgot her damn name. So there's basically this this disease, this infection that's taking over everything. And again, this is an extreme nutshell. You're Joel. You come across this girl, Ellie, and your job is to basically transport her across the state because she has the antibodies in her blood that can create the cure to this virus that's going around. So this whole game, that is your mission, is to get her there so they can get what they need out of her blood to create this cure. Well, when you get to the very end, And this is some of the most genius writing I have ever seen in a video game before, with how they link it with the second one. When you get to the end of the game, you get her to this institute where all this is supposed to go down, and you find out that they're like, what they're trying to do, she's not going to be able to survive it. Like, she has to die for them to get this thing out. And Joel at the end basically decides, you build such a relationship with this girl along the way, this like father daughter bond type of thing. He's like, I can't sacrifice her like that. So he pretty much says fuck you to all of humanity
to
save this girl. So he basically murders everyone in there, all the doctors, he shoots whoever he has to get her out and leave. So that's the plot twist at the end of the first
super
one.
Super villain.
Is that the, like, literally everything that you're intending to do this entire game gets flipped in the last 1% of the game. You end up doing the complete fucking opposite. And then that leads into the second game where you have a pretty clear cut idea of who you think the good guys are, who you think the bad guys are. You've built relationships up along the way. Like, you understand why Joel did what he did. But you meet another character in The Last of Us Part 2 named Abby, and the game splits time between playing as Joel, playing as Ellie, and playing as Abby. Now, the first plot twist comes when, and it's one of those games where as you play as each individual one, you start to see like how their stories intertwine and when they meet each other and like intersect and shit. So when you get to the point of Joel running into Abby, who's a new person that you meet, he basically saves her because there's a giant horde of fucking zombies. You save her and she like gets you to this place where her and some other people have been holding up away from all the nonsense. And, you know, you saved her life. So she's, you know, making, you know, giving you and your brother, I think it was your brother. Yeah. Safety. And as soon as you get there, like, everyone's looking at Joel funny, and all of a sudden she just whips out a shotgun and blasts him right in the leg. The chick that you just saved just blasts his fucking leg. And then the scene cuts to you then playing as Ellie, finding out that Joel's held captive somewhere. You track it all the way. You get to this cabin, and it is just the most brutal scene as Ellie watching Abby basically beat Joel to death. She has a golf club and just splits his head open right in front of her. Like, that's
some Walking Dead shit.
Yeah, but
As him the entire first
game. No, but I'm
game.
Not even saying that, the but entire the fact first that game. You play as Abby, you said, right?
As you so, play as her as well.
You do, yeah. During, I haven't played the second that's game, gonna, so when you play as Abby, I'm asking questions now. When you play absolutely. As Abby, do you play as a good guy, per se?
This is all where it comes to perspective, because this is how it leads into the second plot twist. So that's what the first one, obviously, because there's nobody. Yeah. That thought that Joel was dying in that game. You play as him in the entire first game.
Right, of course. You're like,
and you start the second game. So there's no way that you see it, and there's no way you see it that violent. So much so, there's a compilation that, now that I've gone through it, and that's the part I was talking about, where it's the first time I ever had to sit the controller down and walk away for a minute because I was so aggressively angry. Alex saw me. I was so angry. I was about to punch a wall. And there's a compilation of everyone when they get to that part. And it's the people that are streaming, and to see their reactions is hysterical. There's ranging literally from people crying to like people literally just like, no, and fucking screaming. It's crazy. But to answer your question, it leads into the second plot twist. As you play through the story of Abby and you're trying to figure out like, why is the game even having me fucking play as her doing all this fucked up shit? You find out that her father was the surgeon in the first game that was supposed to extract the thing that Joel murdered to get Ellie out of there. So she had a vendetta against him from the beginning. Like, you murdered my father, I'm going to fucking kill you. Well, essentially, you murdered my father and sentenced humanity to die.
Okay, I have a question now.
Continue.
Now, in the first Last of Us game, you have an option, right? Or is no matter what, you walk out of that hospital with Ellie and killing everybody?
That's it. That's it. That's how it. Goes. There's
okay.
No,
I thought there was a choice of
no.
You mean
which
of.
Makes sense, because I don't know, the second game wouldn't have been able to make sense then. If
see,
they
and
a choice.
That's why I'm asking.
Well, that's
that
not
question.
True. Yeah. I mean, it
no,
could
so,
have if
unless they built it
right.
That
they
way,
could have
I
built
guess.
It to the point but, where it went one of two ways, depending on your previously saved data.
So this is where it's crazy and it gets hard, is both because it's a legitimate story where you can. you can understand why each person you're playing at is doing what you're doing. Just gotta be Ellie. You understand why Ellie is going after Abby because she just watched her murder Joel, and then you understand why Abby's doing what she's doing because
Joel murdered her father. Yeah.
You know, who was literally just doing his job and what he had to do. And at the end, there's actually a fight between both of them. You play as Ellie, but you actually have like a fight against Abby at the end. And I'm not gonna like spoil how
you kill her. That's yes, part of the plot you'll kill anyway, her.
But no, but it's a wild fight scene, dude. The whole game is incredibly written, but that plot twist was crazy to find out. Like the Joel thing was nuts because, like I said, nobody saw that coming.
Yeah,
and it just brought like to see it. If it just happened, maybe it wouldn't have landed that crazy, but like to literally have a scene where like you played as these people in the first game and Ellie's like being held at gunpoint on the floor and like screaming as she's watching Joel get golf club beaten against his head to death is wild. Like it is some gruesome
shit. Yeah, I believe it.
But that's what I have. That's what I have for that one. Those are two back-to-back twisties.
We could cycle back to Anthony if he has another one. I'm still trying to think of.
I don't have any.
I will say this. I've gone through GamerRank. I've gone through. I'm on ScreenRant right now. I'm just trying to find something that might jog my memory. Now there is one that does jog my memory, and I'm actually going to ask Andy about this one because I've watched you play this game, and I've also watched our boy Adrian from Unknown Games podcast. You might watch him play this as well. Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. When you find out about Evelyn. Yeah. So throughout the entire game, you believe Evelyn is this mysterious little young girl, an experimental bioweapon controlling the family. But then you actually realize that it's the grandmother is Evelyn.
Yeah, that is so wild. And what makes it even more creepy when you do find that out is that as you're playing through the story, the grandmother pops up in different places and she doesn't do anything.
No, she just sits in a rocking chair, right?
She just sits in a rocking chair. But what's creepy about it is every time you walk, all that moves is her head and her eyes. And she just follows you everywhere you go. But it's creepy that throughout different stages of the game, everywhere you go, she ends up in a different location. So then at the end, when you find out that it was her the whole time, it makes sense because she's literally there every step of the way. You just don't like it's one of those characters where every time you pass her, you assumed she was going to do something, but she doesn't. She just creepily stares at you.
I didn't think of this.
But
go ahead.
That is a really good one. No, you're that was his.
We have all played this game, and I've actually brought this up in the past when we did this game. Commander Shepard.
Oh,
Call of
the,
Duty Modern
the
Warfare 2.
Oh, yes. I thought you were talking about Master Shepard. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go, yeah.
Modern Warfare 2. Yeah, that's a huge one because, yeah, dude, that was back when we were heavy into
that. Let me see
shit.
If I can find something really quick.
Dude, I saw that on one and it just I just let it go past. I didn't even say anything about it.
I didn't even think about that.
Okay, so while Anthony looks that up, Andy, I have another one that for a game I know you played that I'm curious about. Just your reaction. Heavy Rain.
I was just getting ready to go into that. I mean this one is more of like a normal plot twist you would see in a game, but it is still something you didn't see coming, which, Anthony played it too. Heavy Rain.
Yes.
When you're searching for the origami killer and you find out the origami killer was the one cop that you played as for like half the game, the detective, the big dude.
Fucking stupid.
So, like, to find out. And it actually pissed off a lot of people because you really like grew to like that dude throughout the game and like how his mind worked to like figure all this shit out. And then you figure it out and legitimately find out that it is him.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing to us? But yeah, that is that actually is a really good one. There are some other ones when I look at some games. When I look at some games here, like
there's some other
the first Resident Evil. The first Resident Evil, when you find out that Wesker is actually working for Umbrella.
Oh yeah, that's a pretty big
He
question.
Stars the entire time and then you find out that all of this is his fault.
Yeah.
Like, so that's a big one.
I actually have one. I think I'm the only one who played the game out of the three of us. You may have seen me stream. Life is Strange.
I saw you stream some of it, but not enough to probably know what you're
Okay, so
say.
Life is Strange.
Those types of games are notorious
right.
for plot twists, and my God, they are
yeah,
fantastic.
So, okay. In school, right, as you're playing throughout the game, you're in school. Your one high school teacher, your one teacher, Mark Jefferson, is actually a photography teacher. And he's actually the one behind the entire, like, basically the entire, like, all the events that are taking place. Yeah. So,
wow.
Let me see if I have any more.
And he's your teacher?
Teacher.
You said?
He's literally the first person that you, when you first start playing the game, you're sitting in your classroom and you have the ability to, like, rewind and shit like that and go back and redo things so you can do it the right way or a certain way. Because maybe the path that you took before was all fucked up. But anyway, he's one of the first people that you meet in the game. And yeah, he's one of the last people you see. Just put it that way.
See, I have another one, but you guys have both, when the remake comes out, expressed interest in playing because you both love RPGs, and I told you how incredible this is, so I don't know that I want to say it. But there is one in Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes, I've seen this. That's like, dude, that's been like either number one or number two on a bunch of lists I've seen.
It's huge. It's huge.
So just talk about it.
Fuck it. I'll just do it. Basically, I mean, it's still a great game to play regardless, but the guy, the character that you play as the entire game, you know, hunting down Sith and stuff like that, at the end of the game, you find out that you're actually a powerful Sith Lord named Darth Revan, who had his mind wiped by the Jedi and didn't know that he was a powerful Sith Lord the entire time.
It's amazing.
So
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's
fantastic.
It's it's pretty wild. So then you start to understand why there's certain things you're able to do,
right?
That have like some dark side ish things. Like you think that you're just like, oh, I'm just a really strong Jedi that can tap into that shit, but then you find out like, no, I'm a legit powerful Sith Lord, like capable of taking down Vader or, you know,
right,
fucking Sidious, any of them, and the Jedi wiped your brain, so you had no idea. So that's a huge one.
That's insane.
I understand why it's one or two, because that's also one of the most like popular RPGs out there. So
because we got that coming to PlayStation soon. I think next year or late this year, I believe.
It's so good. It's so good. I don't, Wes, you might be the better one to speak on this because maybe your memory is better on this than I am, but isn't there one with Mass Effect and the Reapers? Like that they're not actually bad, right? Or they're not actually doing what you think they're doing? Don't you find out in either 3 or 2 or something like that? Something with the Reapers.
I think it was 3 because 3 was the one where you basically had the huge choice of whether sacrificing yourself or sacrificing, you know what I mean, somebody else. I think that's where that all led. I don't know. See, now I need to look at it. I need to try.
Close. So Mass Effect 2 is a Mass Effect 2 biggest twist, the Reaper connection. Right? The climax of Mass Effect 2 reveals that the Collectors were abducting humans in order to create a new Reaper constructed out of genetic material of humans infused with technology of Reapers.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds about right.
does that
sounds about right. Yeah.
Just lean into that one a little harder there, Andy. Come on.
Yeah. I'm going to lean in. Yeah, that sounds about right. I just knew there was something with that. I just didn't remember exactly what the fuck it was. But I'm just trying to that's the end of like the list that I have. I'm just trying to think back to any games that we've played to see if there's anything in there. You know, it would be a plot twist if an NHL game came out with like a complete game. That'd be a plot twist. just saying. Look, it is what it is.
Oh man! All right. So, if we need to, we'll travel back. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think we're good.
Travel or circle. You mean whichever you want to do.
I think we're done with all the plot twists, unless we come back to it and we got our own little plot twist.
Now let's give you news. I'll just leave that.
That was fucking terrible.
All right, so let's dive into this shit. So, BAFTA 2022 happened.
Did you call me?
That happened the other night. You fucking heard what I called you. Don't hear bullshit. Don't bullshit. We can go ahead and run through some of these. Andy and I, this was one of the episodes that Anthony wasn't able to make it, whether drill or whatever. Or no, this might have been your birthday weekend.
Either way, he wasn't able to give his picks.
So, some of the nominees, or some of the winners are, so nominee for a performer in a leading role, that goes to Returnal.
You have the shit.
No, I don't. I don't have anything written down.
Damn. I know.
But so Jane Perry as Celine Vassos in Returnal, she won that. Supporting role goes to Psychonauts 2 for Kimberly Brooks. Oh my gosh, she is such a fantastic voice actress. I know her from a lot of other things. Here you go, Andy. This one you're going to like. Unpacking won for EE Game of the Year.
That's incredible. I was telling Alex about that too. I was like, I can't. When I heard that they were even nominated for an award, I was like, that is so dope.
Oh, that's
because
that,
the game is so
that's
fucking.
That's that game where you build rooms.
That I told you is so zen. Yeah, it's just so zen. Yeah, like the room's already there, and there's boxes that you have to unpack and put things in different places. But as you do each room, you start to like understand the story of who's and why and who's.
Who's
with a hard C. But yeah, that's dope that won though. I gotta tell Alex that now though.
Yeah, so some other winners that are in here. Yeah, the nominee for technical achievement, the winner is Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Sick.
Apparently, and I was just saying this to Anthony, apparently in this game, you fight against a Thunderjaw at some point. In Ratchet and Clank.
Man, gotta love some crossover, huh?
Right? Original property goes to It Takes Two. 100% agree with that. That one was fantastic. Narrative, best narrative. Again, Unpacking.
Wow, that's crazy, dude.
And the games that it was up against.
Now I wish
it
I finished
it. It Takes Two, True Colors, Life is Strange, True Colors, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Psychonauts 2, and Returnal. I am surprised that Unpacking won.
They have to be so goddamn proud of themselves, whoever came up with
who did you pay off?
Yeah, who did you slide some money to?
Nominees for Best Music, the winner was Returnal.
Okay.
Pretty sure I stopped talking at a perfect moment for that.
Just some ducks, go ahead.
And the winner for a multiplayer game is It Takes Two, which I will 100%.
I'm pretty positive you and I both guessed that because we were like,
how
could it not? It won Game of the Year and it's a multiplayer game, so just kind of put two and two together.
Best game design went to Inscription. We have best game beyond entertainment went to a game called Before Your Eyes. Not even sure what that is. Let's see here. Best family game went to Chicory, A Colorful Tale. Best evolving game went to No Man's Sky. I'm pretty sure we said that too.
You know what's incredible about what you're saying so far, and I don't even know if you've noticed, is how many different games won awards here.
Oh, yeah. It's not just a huge...
It's not just one game taking everything out, which is kind of what we saw at the Game Awards between Tsushima, Last of Us, and... was it Control at that point? I'm trying to remember.
Control did win a few things, but that might have been the year before.
Really quick, so Before Your Eyes is a 2021 adventure game developed by Goodbye World Games and published by Skybound Games. It was released on Microsoft Windows on April 8th, 2021.
Oh, word. Yes. So the winner for Best Debut Game is a game called Toem. I'm pretty sure I've heard of that one. I'm pretty sure I've seen that one somewhere. I can't remember where, though. Audio Achievement went to The Artful Escape. And The Artful Escape also won Artistic Achievement. So audio and artistic. Ooh, that almost
This man out. Almost said autistic.
Almost.
She sure did.
Yo, I mean, I'm laughing because...
Yo,
that,
no fucking joke. Saying, my heart did skip a fucking
I don't know why.
Beat,
it's just a word. It's not going to hurt any. It's not going to hurt your feelings. Look, relax. It's just a word. But had you said that, it would have been funny. It would have been a little bit quippy.
Look,
we
would have
corrected
it.
Your
I'm
ass, but still, it would have been funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, but it was still one of those things where I was just like, oh, God.
Oh, my mouth almost said it.
Best animation went to Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. I'm actually surprised on that one with everybody who was actually
who
in
else
that.
Who
that.
Else were they up against?
You had Call of Duty Vanguard, It Takes Two, Kenna, Bridge of Spirits, Life is Strange, True Colors, Psychonauts
so,
2, and then...
Okay, so I never would have picked Call of Duty to win against any of those in that category.
Call of Duty shouldn't have been
Call of Duty would... Call, yeah, no, they shouldn't have, but like no, those other games, dude, yo, their animation and the way they did things was
that's
incredible.
Cool.
That's one of those groups of games for that specific award, minus Call of Duty, that you kind of can't have a gripe no matter who wins that one.
It's true.
You're like, oh, I can see that.
If Call of Duty would have won that, I would have, even though I didn't make any picks, I would have drove to somebody's house, slapped you both, and then drove home.
Well, wait, would one of us have to go to the other
place?
I would make my way.
Because you said I'd go to one of your houses and slap you both. Well, who's where?
Who's
Wes? Who is where?
Slap us both.
I would have made my way to both y'all's houses and slapped y'all's.
Then again, what we do know for sure is he can be at your house and still be able to slap me from your house because he's long ass fucking monkey arm.
I fucking quit.
Continue.
All right, so the winner for Best British Game went to Forza Horizon 5.
Oh, dope.
That does not surprise me. That's a fantastic game.
And
it would have surprised me if it didn't win a single award. That's what would have surprised me.
Yeah. And Best Game. Best Game, Game of the Year, goes to Returnal.
That's cool.
Which I'm actually pretty... That game
that's
is...
That's on sale, by the way, right now.
Makes sense.
Is the DLC with it?
I have no idea. Didn't say anything about it.
I didn't think that came out yet.
I think it's out yet, dude. But I also didn't see any. Last night I didn't see any because when I was on last night talking to Wes, I was kind of just like chilling, adding like.
Oh yeah, you were scrolling through the store.
Scrolling through the store, adding games to my wish list of games I'd like to play.
It is March 22nd. That drop.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not.
So Game of the Year was Returnal. Okay, I mean, look at who were they up against. What was the competition there?
I already closed that window out.
So I
would
good luck.
Take Two was probably in there. Yeah, thanks. Cool. Yeah. Basically, say go fuck yourself.
Politely.
Hey, I was getting ready for the next story. All right.
So story time.
Go to the next story, sir. Half past freckle. Let's go.
All right. So Jeff Fowler, who was the director of the Sonic and the Hedgehog 2 movie. Okay.
Oh yeah.
He won. Yeah. This one I said to Anthony. I want to get his pure reaction to this. He said that in a dream scenario, he would love to make a Smash Brothers movie.
That would be dope. You know how much fun that would be?
If you do that right, I don't know how you do it, but like I don't know how you frame that.
Easy, exactly. All CGI. Has to be.
Well, of course.
100%.
Well, maybe not.
Unless we get John Leguizamo back to play Luigi.
No. Your specific characters like Sonic and Mario and Luigi and Peach and Donkey Kong and stuff like that would have to be CGI in the form of
Pikachu
like Sonic and stuff like that. And like how they did in the Pikachu detective movie, you could do that.
Which was very good, by the way.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
But like your normal characters, Captain Falcon, you could use a human for that, right?
Sheik.
Yep.
Sheik, you could.
Link you could. So,
Sheik,
so
Zelda.
There's a lot of humans that could have.
That's a huge undertaking. You have to really make sure that you get a good story behind it. Now, I'm not a big, like, I don't know. I'm not a big person that would know much behind the story of how, like, Smash Bros. Would be.
Yeah,
do you know
like
what I'm saying?
Like, I don't know how you go about,
like
I'll
know
tell
the
you one thing.
The original one had to do with, like, the white glove hand thing, right?
Master hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, Master
so,
hand.
So, like, I get that, yeah. But, like...
But you can't...
No,
I don't
you
think
can't
you can
base
have
a game
your storyline.
But why don't you...
Cool. 2 hours of working up to fighting a giant hamburger helper glove? No, I'm good.
If they could find a way to go ahead and build it up to where, like... You know how in Thor Ragnarok, they had, like, Grandmaster... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you had somebody like that behind the scenes, but much more nefarious,
I'll tell you what,
than Jeff Goldblum. You know?
if they were to make the good old Jeff Daddy, one thing they'd be impervious to is like there's no way like anybody like we do when movies come out for like Resident Evil or Monster Hunter that can be like, oh, the source material is here, you fucked it up. Because there is none.
there's really,
if you're going to make that game, you're kind of creating your own there. Because
on top of
unless you fuck up like the backstory
from
character.
Everywhere.
Yeah, unless you fuck up the backstory of a character or like do something weird with that, you can pretty much take that how you want it. I mean, they can do it in.
That'd be cool though. If anything, I would do more like a.
I don't know how
I would
do
like a. You could do like a mini series, like a Netflix mini series or like, an Apple Plus TV mini series, something like that.
But the only there's been only two movies that I've ever seen that have been able to have a story and successfully integrate a shitload of different video game characters, and that was Wreck-It Ralph.
Yep.
And
Ready Player One.
And I actually.
Oh my god! You serious?
We need.
No, I haven't seen it either.
Fuck you guys. We need to have like a guys' night where we're just like watching a movie together. Right. No homo.
All right. So that could be one of them. I'll hold that out because I haven't seen it yet. So as what have I have seen? Wreck-It Ralph and Pixels.
Okay, that's fine.
Pixels did it right.
No, yeah. They did.
So now Pixels, of course, the story was goofy. It's a fucking Happy Madison production.
Yeah,
it was
goofy,
but it made sense
movie.
With how they did it.
Me personally, it's an extremely underrated movie.
I think so. I mean, I think it's good. Look, you're not expecting some fucking
You're not
expecting Shawshank Redemption with an Adam Sandler movie. You know what I mean? You're expecting to like laugh, have fun, and well, no, because Adam Sandler can do Oscar worthy. He's done some shit. But this is not what his go-to is.
Look, I still say one of his best roles was Spanglish, but that's just me.
That was a good movie. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's something that's very interesting. That's very interesting. That would be an interesting undertaking.
I'm not against it. I'm definitely not against it because like at that point, just it's based off a video game, but like there's no like what is the actual story behind that game.
Yeah, because every Smash Brothers game, to my knowledge, every Smash Brothers game that's come out since like the ones for 64 and GameCube really don't have a story. You're kind of just fighting.
Yeah.
Right?
So it could definitely be like
there's not this like lead up to
it's all
the
just
same,
wall out.
So it could be like a you could definitely base it off of like a tournament style sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Mortal Kombat style.
Yeah, kinda.
I was thinking that but I didn't want to say it.
You could like last Nintendo character standing. Type shit. Well, they're not all just Nintendo characters, right? They have some.
The OG was. The OG was all Nintendo characters, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying what it's turned into.
Well, yeah.
Because you've got like Jill Valentine and shit like that. And stuff like that. So.
Yeah, but like one of the biggest things that the director was talking about was wanting to get Mario and Sonic in a ring.
Okay,
together.
Then you just do the fucking Olympics. You do one of the
Mario and Sonic. You do
Olympics.
The Olympics, and
are you
then
kidding me?
And then essentially let them draft their people they're going to have
that's,
with them.
That's
so
all you
but,
do.
So,
I mean,
so, they, so they go to each world and they grab each person.
But
or
no,
whatever.
I honestly think the best idea is what you said, like a tournament style thing where you're literally just like as because we wouldn't know as fans of these characters in games to watch a movie to see like who the superior person is using the powers that they use in their games to see how they stack up against one another in a tournament style thing to see who wins. I think that would work. I absolutely think. I don't know. I don't know what arc you'd be able to use. Like what story arc there?
But you'd have to fucking pull them out of your butt cheeks. But still, at that time, you
unless they literally bill it as like a there is no.
There's gotta be whatchamacallit, dude.
There's no protagonist. No, I'm saying there's really no protagonist, really no antagonist. Just show up and see which character you think is gonna take this thing. It's more of like an event than a movie.
Yeah.
But it could work. Like
it'd have to do it in a miniseries, I'm telling you right now.
Just don't give in to Mila Jovovich's husband.
Oh god, oh fucking.
Just don't do that.
Nah, because then she'll end up being like
in it.
She'll be in it.
And you'll be like, oh, here but she is again.
I was trying to think of a character, and you guys are going, well, she'll just be in it. Which
like,
just
it doesn't matter. She'll reenact her role from Monster Hunter. Like, there you go. There's her character. Ooh, you're here.
Like, I'm not saying she's ruining
movies.
I'm not saying she's shit. She's very good in some very good movies, just not in the ones that her husband
directs. I think she's just like...
Because I think he just picks her because... Well, one, he clearly sucks at making video game movies, so that's
he
shit.
He clearly
right away.
Sucks at making then, movies. Well, video game
I don't know
movies,
what else he makes. So the two that I've seen of his has sucked. Because I finally got to watch some of Monster Hunter because it's been on TV like all goddamn week.
Oh, so you watched?
So,
gotcha.
It's been on Showtime. So I stomached some of it. Tony Jaa is like the best part of the damn thing because I'm a fan of Tony Jaa. But yeah, it was fucking like I just wanted to see like how they integrated the whole like bringing it to the it's fucking. It's so horrible. I suggest you check it out.
I don't think I want to.
But
I don't know. Yeah. I kind of do when he says it like that.
Anyway, what you got next?
Nah, that's all I got, man. That's unless it. Anybody has any other news.
Nice discussion about that one. Then. I ain't got a fucking thing.
Well, now I'm currently looking up her husband and seeing other movies that he may have created. Oh,
that'd be a news story if he created a good
Resident
one.
Resident Evil movies, Monster Hunter, Resident Evil.
So Nopes and Nopes.
Actually, I'm just going to go to his IMDb thing. Stand fast, folks, because I'm pretty sure they're all trash. I'm pretty sure his whole fucking...
I will give credit where it's due if there's something in there.
Okay.
Ta-dee.
Let's just check out.
And it needs to be something that he legitimately directed, not as a part of.
Okay, well, then let's go.
Oh, not
so
like
he's got 19. He's
like
got
that?
19 no. things as a director.
What do we have?
Monster Hunter. There's a TV series called Origin. All the Resident Evils. Pompeii, the movie. Three Musketeers from 2011, so it's not even the old one that was good. Death Race.
I don't remember Death Race being very good.
It wasn't. It was just like another Jason Statham movie where he's driving a car beating people up. But anyway. Alien vs. Predator from 2004.
No, that movie flopped like a motherfucker. No, yeah, so another line of work, bud.
You want to see where his first flop started?
Go make some yodels. Yeah, where did it start?
In 1995 with a video game. Take a guess, Andy. And what?
Oh, my God. With a video game movie?
The only difference is he was still the director. The only difference is he didn't have his entire name, which is Paul W.S. Wilson or Anderson. Instead, it was just Paul Anderson, but he was the director. Okay.
Let me find out that it's either. If you're saying this, are you saying this because it's a shitty movie?
I'm saying this because it was a.
It makes sense that it's him?
Yeah.
Okay, I have two guesses. A, it's either the Super Mario Bros. Movie, or B, the one Mortal Kombat movie.
Annihilation?
The shitty one, Annihilation?
No, it's the original one. Look,
the good one.
Don't get me wrong. The original Mortal Kombat is good, but if we're talking video game standards to movie, it's terrible. It's literally a terrible movie. It's cheesy.
I'm
going to
leave
hell.
This one for Alex. I'm not even going to touch it.
No.
They're definitely all cheesy as fuck.
But what I'm saying is, if we're going video game, if we're going apples to apples, right? Video game to movie, it's no. No.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I will, like, I was scared for a second because I thought I was going to have to give him props because I thought it was about to be Super Mario Brothers and I was about to be like, that movie is so shitty that it's good. I for whatever reason, that's the one video game movie that I give a pass to.
Mortal Kombat.
Goombas. No. Super Mario Bros. Goombas playing harmonicas and all.
Goombas playing harmonicas is actually a phenomenal thing if you look at it. I thought it was fantastic.
You know what fucking saves that? Is that you have a legend playing King Koopa. That helps. That was Dennis Hopper, right?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Dennis Hopper playing King Koopa. John Leguizamo at like
at like 12
funny John Leguizamo. It was a good one. And the dude they had play Mario was good too, and he's a legitimate actor. I always forget the other
he's,
shit he's been
in. He's
name.
An English actor,
but he's been in
he's,
some
he's,
shit
he's an English actor. I forget his name though.
I'm just he was also in a was he I'm wondering if I'm getting them mixed up. Was he also the guy that was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes that was him.
Okay, I thought so. Okay,
that was him.
Yeah he's such a big part of my childhood, but, apparently.
He's actually English.
Wow, I actually didn't know that.
So let's see. I'm just curious to see how many fucking movies he had his wife in. One, two, three, four, five. Five out of the 19 movies he directed.
Well, all the Resident Evils and Monster Hunter, right?
I quit. Yeah. I'm done.
If I were her, like, I wouldn't even
like look,
support
hon.
Your man, sure, but support from a distance. I'll
Are
clap for you on this one.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in another? Okay. No, I will never be in another one of his movies. He's terrible.
No, absolutely.
He's made shit. Mortal Kombat was the decent movie. Since
he was
then,
a producer
shit.
On Dead or Alive.
Dead or Alive.
The movie.
He had something
based
to do
off
Dead
of
or Alive?
The fucking
oh
video
my God.
Game.
So he's a video game director slash producer. So he's shit. He's a shit guy who's making
so
money off
so
of being
is...
shit. Why can't we?
So
time out.
So what you're saying is.
No, tangent
go
time.
Ahead, go ahead.
Why can't we be shit and make a ton of money being shit? Is it just because we're decent people?
You No, you can, you can. You just got to go to school first.
I got to go to school.
Get a credit
to
make whatever
to be
shit you
shit.
Want. But what I'm saying is, you're legitimately telling me right now that I'm basically like all of like the shitty video game movies we can literally blame on one person.
Yeah, he's fucking. So literally, if we take him out, Monster if we Hunter, take him out,
all so all we have to do. Evils, so DOA. All we have to do. Yeah, think about it. He had nothing to do with the most recent Mortal Kombat movie. I liked that movie.
Yeah, touche.
You know. I mean, they did their own story. Fine,
good news is he has nothing to do with Borderlands. I mean, I'm not interested in it because I don't like the good cast selections, but it could be a good movie because he's not part of it. So that's nice.
I'm assuming like the question that should be asked from now on moving forward is if a video game movie is coming out, is he a part of it? If not, I'll give it a chance. If he's a part of it, I know what's coming. I know.
Fun fact. There's another movie coming out soon. It's called In the Lost Lands. Guess who one of the main characters is? Oh, look at you taking a good guess.
Okay, so I understand we're on a tirade right now, but I actually want to add to the tirade. So out of all the movies he's directed, well, he's been a part of, either directed or produced.
Yeah. His average Rotten Tomatoes score is a 7.
His Rotten Tomatoes score is a 31%.
Jesus Christ. That, like his, the average?
Yeah, his Metacritic is 41.
I don't understand those. I'm sorry.
How?
I really don't. I'm being honest with you guys. I don't understand it. So, like, Rotten Tomatoes. So, is it based off a 100% point scale, basically?
Yes.
So, he's 31 out of 100? Trash.
Yes.
And same thing, I guess, with Meta?
Metacritic,
and these aren't your, like, uppity, hoity-toity, like, people that...
No, it's us.
Vote on Oscars that watch movies. It's us. It's the people that enjoy movies, that watch movies, that want them to be good. Your average. It's just like when you see that, like,
I don't know why I didn't do this.
You know, when you see motherfucker looks like he's like in Tron.
I'm literally now comfortably sitting on the ground. I don't know why I didn't think of this before. This is.
I'm just looking at UIO.
He looks like.
You mean IOU?
Another good one. You legit look like Mario before he gets a motion.
I am. I mean, I really am.
But anyway, yeah, that's... Oh, my God.
So that's news. So, now it is time to go ahead and let all the crew members at home and the ones abroad, we're going to tell you what we are playing! All right, so let's go into this, man. I'll start off with what are we playing?
It's like, what are we getting into?
No, we're getting into the last.
Like, I just like I forgot how this goes. I was like,
yeah, that's what happens when you miss an episode.
Yeah,
because you're fucking like this motherfucker came in. We're like fucking 10 minutes into the episode. This motherfucker comes in. He's like. I can't hear you. I'm like, I texted him like, bro, we're already recording. Bruh. He's like, all right, fuck it, I'm out. Fuck this.
Bruh. If you could have seen me when everything cut off and I closed the camera, it was like old school rage quitting in a video game. Because I was already so fucking pissed that I was sitting in front of this computer for 40 goddamn minutes waiting for the fucking invite to come through, that when I put that hard line, like, okay, fuck it. If this shit ain't here by 9:20, I'm out. Fuck this shit. And then literally, I kid you not, Alex actually asked me what happened. When it finally came in, I was like, right under the wire, motherfuckers. And I came in and I couldn't hear you guys. And I was just like, I'm out. I closed it and it was a big old... Fuck this shit.
So good.
And then I go upstairs and I tell Alex what happened. You know what she tells me? Oh, my Bluetooth is on. Your headphones probably connected to my phone.
Yeah.
I was like,
mother.
I was like at that point, I didn't even care. I was like, no matter what I couldn't handle one more issue. Is what it was.
Oh my God, first
it was Wes possibly accidentally sending it to the wrong email. Which why the first one never came through at all. And then the second one taking 20 minutes. I'm like, if one more fucking thing goes wrong, I can't take it today.
So good.
That is good. That is fucking good.
Go ahead. Sorry. Wes, back to what are we playing?
So I have been on a quest in Horizon Forbidden West to basically find every single question mark that's on the map.
As you must.
And see what they are.
So now you're playing it like Andy and I.
You're speaking our language,
okay,
buddy.
Well,
okay, so here's what I'm doing. I mean,
my love language.
And all of this is while I'm also trying to go ahead and like upgrade my pouches and stuff.
Of course.
So like I'm going to each one of these question marks. Normally along the way I find, you mean, rebel camps and stuff like that. So you mean take them out, take the big guys out, all that type of stuff. But yeah, man, it's been I maxed out. I'm level 50 in the game, mm-hmm. and I'm 57% complete the game, I believe. I think that counts as side quests.
Isn't that amazing feeling? No, you're already a fucking god, and you're running through, finding everything else. The only thing you're literally doing now is just upgrading your pouches so you can carry more shit.
Oh yeah, dude, I'm just upgrading my pouches and upgrading my weapons because I'm running with like two or three legendary.
So T-bragging everything.
So you think you're gonna continue this trend with other RPG style games like we've been telling you for fucking 15 years?
We will see.
I hope so, because if you notice, he's sneaking. It feels like he's sneaking a little bit back into that, playing like a bunch of games at once. When we had that like solid couple months where he was like laser focused on one thing.
Well,
I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, you did. Every single morning I play Horizon. Like 5 a.m. I wake up and the way to get my brain going
is to
and
play
everything
Horizon.
Else, I go in the basement and I play some video games. And I do that for like half hour, 45 minutes, and then I get ready for work. So literally that is what I do.
Not even video games could make me happy at 5 a.m.
Just drink coffee and I shit myself.
I gotta get paid. That's all I gotta say about that. Other than that, I decided.
All right, I think you need to stop talking.
I really should. I decided to try out the show 22.
Okay.
For the first time last night.
I did see that came to game.
You should also stop fucking talking. Jesus Christ.
Wow. That was glorious. All right, yes. he went to go sit like 10, 15 feet away.
Motherfucker's literally laying on his couch as he listens to us talk shit.
All right, so I started a career. I'm a pitcher. I got picked up by the Rockies.
Okay, like so?
I wasn't expecting. Well, dude, look.
Like,
I'm,
you trying
I
to get like,
in the East?
You expected to like get picked up by like the Phillies? Is like that? Were you?
Yes, no, absolutely.
You're not good enough,
but,
bro.
Smoke all the weed you want.
You ain't good enough.
I will.
Smoke all the weed you want, brother.
I will. So I got picked up by the Rockies. I pitched a complete game. Only had 3 hits in my entire game.
Damn, dude.
3 hits, 7 strikeouts.
So, damn, Daddy.
It was a pretty good game.
I've never been a pitcher.
It's always a lot of fun. You should.
I've never played one of the show games.
Hitting,
when I...
So being a pitcher, and I'm pretty sure the Rockies are in the American League. So that means that I'll never hit.
Good for you.
Because there's always DH.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
So yeah. I'm so trash at fucking hitting, so I don't care.
Most pitchers are. Like,
unless you're Otani.
Yeah, which is not fair. But anyway. No.
But that's all I've really been doing.
Andy, what do you got?
Just been playing those two games.
Might as well go right to you. I got absolutely nothing.
Well, so
not a thing. I haven't been
after
able to play
we're done
game
this, we are
going to
be playing some video games together, so
that's
gonna be
you realize
cool.
We say that almost every episode, but then this time in.
We actually are playing video games together after we're done here, so it's gonna be cool.
Yeah, I will jump right.
So
in pipes.
Last time I talked, I was in the works of finishing up the Spider-Man, the original one for the PlayStation 4. I did all the DLCs. That is now literally, I did the new game plus playthrough on Ultimate Spider-Man, like you're supposed to. All I did was just the run through of the actual story mode. I think in all, even with the ultimate playthrough, I died like 4 or 5 times. The one I was on the microphone with you.
Yeah. The one I talked about in the last episode when you were just like, wow. Wow, I died.
One of 4 or 5 times. Cause like after that, I was like,
wow,
yeah, fuck
two
that.
Shots. That was fast.
And the bulk of my dying actually, happened when I was fighting Doc Ock at the very, very, very end. So still a great game, even on the hardest difficulty. Wasn't as hard as I expected. You definitely had to get your timing down a little bit better for the dodges and stuff like that. But I mean, that was about it.
Yeah.
I
was just going to say, when it comes to those types of games, like even the hardest difficulty is pretty fan friendly. Like it's not as impossible.
Yeah,
as
it's
a lot
literally
of games
just
make it. Like
it's
not
timing.
Like we're not talking
like
Uncharted
that.
Where it's not Uncharted where you're talking like you peek your head out for a second, one shot.
Exactly.
And you die 87
times.
Four,
it was like 3 or 4 hits and then you die.
Yeah.
But that is 100% complete. 74 of 74 trophies found. So that's all done.
My man.
Rockstar shit.
After that, we were supposed to play some Chell last night.
It didn't happen.
We're doing that tonight, so that's going to be dope. So in the meantime, I downloaded Ghost Runner, and I also downloaded Control. And I figured, let me hop on Ghost Runner, see if I like it. And I told this to Wes last night. It's not my speed. It's not my style.
It just didn't land. Some games just don't land.
But here's the thing. It's not... I didn't like the actual gameplay itself. Now, what I mean by that is not how it looked, how everything rendered. I just didn't like the actual play style. The story...
Isn't it a one-shot?
It's a one-shot.
Like, give me one-shot kill.
It's a one-shot. And it's not that I didn't like. It's just that... So, basically, the way each level is set up is there's an X amount of enemies placed in a certain place. It's in the same spot every time. And it's all about figuring the path of least resistance, because you have to kill all enemies before you can move out of that chapter, basically. So basically, the path of least resistance, you want to kill all of the enemies and make sure that you do it in the most efficient way possible without dying. Now, that's just not my style. I thought it was going to be a little bit more in depth than that. It's really not. It's literally a running slashing game with a little bit of RPG tied into it, where you can like level your guy up as you go. Story set, but now leading into that, I think I got to like the second or third level, and I was like, I played it for a good solid hour and a half to really give it a try. Like, I didn't want to just like say no, the game was no good. The game is not my style, right? But graphics, great. Story sounds phenomenal. The story actually sounds really, really cool, and really good. Everything was good, just not my style, right? So I heard it's a
very, very fast-paced game.
It is, and it. I got used to it, but I still didn't like it. I didn't like the whole, like...
Okay. Sometimes also, like, and I've noticed it with me too, sometimes, like, you might, like, a certain game just, like, might not be what you're looking for at that moment.
Right, and I still have it downloaded.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, it's not the time for that. Like, I'm looking for something else right now. Like, before, when we recommended, you're like, I'm looking, when you start playing fours, and you're like, I'm looking for more of just, like, an easy pickup, not have to worry about doing...
Right.
You know, a whole bunch of shit at once, and that's coming from someone who loves RPGs. So sometimes you just get the wrong game at the wrong time.
And I think that's what it could possibly be. I deleted the game itself. I kept all the save stuff just in case. I did though download Control, and I started playing that. I am playing the PlayStation 5 version of it. Insane. I mean, between the graphic capabilities that the game has, the haptic feedback that you get from the weapons, and all of the force moves that you use. I'm just going to call them force moves, but your telekinetic moves and stuff like that you can use. You literally can feel it all in the haptics while you're playing the game. The story so far has been absolutely immersive. Like, I literally, like, when it goes to a cutscene, the cutscenes are, like... Wes, you played it, you said, a little bit. I don't know how far you are.
Yeah. I mean, I got a few hours.
Just finished the everything that had to do with the maintenance. So everything that had to do with the boiler, basically. Everything that had to do with the...
I think it's around where I was.
Yeah, I'm going on to basically what would be like the third level. Which is like a completely different level of a whole bunch of different shit. But anyway, The cinematics and the little cutscenes are like little movies. They're like 2-3 minutes long, but they're so good to the point where you kind of just put the controller down on your lap and you just watch.
Oh yeah, it's very immersive.
So immersive, absolutely fantastic storyline. Yeah, I'm gonna leave it there for now. But I did play it for a good solid, I want to say 5 or 6 hours today.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It, like, it was really, really good.
Solid,
I like the controls feel comfortable. They're easy, not easy to remember, but you'll remember them after you play for about 30 minutes. And man, this chick's got a bag of tricks up her sleeves like you would never fucking expect. It's like, what the fuck, dude? But absolutely insane. So cool. So cool. That's it. That's all I got.
Word. Yeah. I just want to ask Andy real quick.
Yes, sir.
How are you enjoying Elden Ring? Hmm. This is a question coming from Adrian. You know what I mean? He wants to, you know, he's asking.
I'm enjoying it very much. It's getting tough because it's one of those games where it's better the more that you can play consistently, which unfortunately I haven't been able to do the last couple weeks.
True.
So the first couple days that I played it, when I literally got like 4 hours one day and like 5 hours the next day, I was really enjoying myself. But it's definitely not a game where if you only have, you know, maybe an hour over the course of a couple days, that's what you're going to want to jump into. One, it's not enough time to get something done. And two, you're never going to like fully remember what you were doing, where you were going. So I am enjoying it. I do think it's a great game. I intend on finishing it. It's just one of those games where I have to wait until I have a little more.
Yeah, I feel like because it's a game like that you need the at most least 3 to 4 hours to sit down a day. Not a day per se,
but per session.
Yeah. If you have it like that, like that's a game where I've said before, like, you know, one night I might, if I'm gonna game, I may take off from, you know, playing cello or whatever to be able to get a few hours.
Yeah, but if you do that, you still have to join the party and hang out with us. Oh, that's what I did last night. Wes and I were just fucking chilling, hanging out.
Dude, we've done that a million times. Yeah, that ain't.
But for sure, that's definitely that.
Yeah, but no, it's definitely a lot of fun, for sure.
Word,
for sure.
Love to hear it. All right, y'all. So now I will go ahead and tell y'all how you can connect up.
This motherfucker just had a stroke as we were doing this. I'm gonna tell you how you can.
I turned into fucking Popeye right there.
I was gonna say you sounded like a mix between that or like one of those the sets of like the chattering teeth.
Jesus Christ!
We're
gonna leave that in there. Let's try that again. Jesus fuck!
Oh, that's incredible.
Now it is time to tell y'all how you can connect with CGC. You can go to our website, which is consolegamingcrew.com, or you can go ahead and throw us an email at consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @consolecrew. That is the best place to hit us up. YouTube and Instagram are both Console Gaming Crew. And as you heard in the beginning of the episode, check out bossrushgames.com. The Boss Rush Network is where you want to go to find everything, content creating, gaming, all of it. Guaranteed, it is. You will find something you like there. BossRushGames.com. Also, check out our Twitch, which is CGC Podcast. We have our Monday nights to where I am streaming Back for Blood right now. That's kind of been the main one we've been running with. And on Fridays, we are streaming either Chell or I might throw something on. You know what I mean? It just depends on how we're flowing. So, yeah.
This man had a fucking heart attack fucking 30 times through that.
I can appreciate how you rallied because once that ship starts to sink, bro, it's hard. It's hard to bail that water out and stay afloat.
Gaming Crew, but got calm.
like as it started to go south, I was like, oh man. And then he started to rally and pick it up, and I was like, that's.
I mean,
the
if you think
I
about
know.
It though, the very beginning of this whole thing,
it's
before
not
it
even a cold read.
Improvise, adapt, and overcome, baby.
It's not even a cold read. Like
no,
it's the same shit I say every goddamn Saturday.
Obviously, I was about to say one of the three of us has said basically that exact spiel for damn near 2 years.
It's mainly been between me and Anthony.
Less.
Well, then we'll let Andy start
with the Boss Rush.
Boss Rush.
I got no problem.
Boss Rush Games.
Grab your clickers. Bosh. Get right to Boss.
Get
Rush.
To Boss Rush.
Boss Rush.
Boss Rush. Rush. Rush.
All right.
Gadzooks. All right, y'all. So as always, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Please stay safe. Wash your hands. Mask up. Do what you got to feel safe and be safe. And as always,
game on.
Game on, y'all. Be good. Peace.